God, the words you speak have power. Power to create, power to disturb, power to heal. Help us hear your word for us today. The story you're going to hear, which is early in the Gospel of John, of Jesus' encounter by a well with a Samaritan woman, is known for its message about Jesus' offer of the water of life. But today, as you hear the story, listen for the many layers of conversation that occur between Jesus and the woman and her neighbors, Jesus and his disciples, and so on. Notice how people talk past each other, such as when Jesus says he already has food and his friends puzzle over where he got it. Also notice the conversational dynamics. As a Jewish male, Jesus is in a position of advantage over the woman. But as a thirsty and tired traveler, he is at a disadvantage, for he does not have a bucket to draw water. Jesus invites dialogue by becoming vulnerable, asking for a drink of water, and by allowing the woman to exercise some power over him, since she is the one with the bucket. A relationship is created, and Jesus stays on for 2 days. The reading is taken from John chapter 4, verses 5 to 42. Jesus came to Sychar, a Samaritan village beside the field Jacob had given his son, Joseph. Jacob's well was still there. Jesus, worn out, sat down at the well. It was noon, and his disciples had gone to the village to buy food. A woman, a Samaritan, came to draw water. Jesus said, "Would you give me a drink of water?" The woman was taken aback. "How come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" Jesus answered, "If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh, living water." She said, "You don't even have a bucket, and this well is deep. How are you going to get this living water? Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it and passed it down to us?" Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again. Anyone who drinks the water I give will never thirst." She said, "Give me this water so I won't ever get thirsty. I won't have to come back to this well." He said, "Go call your husband and then come back." She said, "I have no husband." "That's nicely put," said Jesus. "I have no husband, you say. You've had 5 husbands, and the man you're with now isn't your husband. So you spoke the truth." So you are a prophet," she said. "Well, tell me this. Our ancestors worshipped God at this mountain, but you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place for worship. Is that right?" "Believe me, woman, the time is coming when Samaritans will worship God neither here at this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship guessing in the dark, but the time is coming. It has, in fact, come when where you go to worship will not matter. It's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people God seeks, those who simply and honestly come to worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship God must do it out of their very being, their spirit, their true self." When his disciples came back, they were shocked. They couldn't believe he was talking with that kind of a woman. The woman took the hint and left. Back in the village, she told people, "Come see a man who knows all about me, inside and out. Could this be the Messiah?" In the meantime, the disciples pressed him, "Rabbi, aren't you going to eat?" He told them, "I have food to eat you know nothing about." The disciples were puzzled. "Who brought you food?" Jesus said, "The food that keeps me going is that I do the will of the one who sent me." Many Samaritans from that village committed themselves to him because of the woman's words. They asked him to stay on, so Jesus stayed 2 days. A lot more people entrusted their lives to him when they heard what he had to say directly. They said to the woman, "We're no longer taking this on your say-so. We've heard it for ourselves and know it for sure." In these readings, we hear God's word. God is still speaking. Thanks be to God.
The story of Jesus' chance encounter with a Samaritan woman is fascinating, with its crisscrossing lines of communication between different people, its examples of careful listening, such as Jesus' intuition from the woman's appearance at a well at midday when it's deserted, about her social standing as a result, and examples of miscommunication that, as usual, come to us from the disciples. But there were so many texts that we could have used today to reflect on Jesus' uncanny ability to connect with people, including people who were very, very different from him, with a question, a response, an opening for conversation to develop, and from there, in the blink of an eye, a relationship is formed. And relationship is what it was all about for him. Religious rules and regulations bored him. Cultural niceties like who could eat with whom annoyed him. The casual hypocrisy of the sanctimonious angered him. The power of the political and military authorities hardly gave him pause. You tell that fox Herod, and so on. But relationships were sacred. And Jesus' relationships themselves often broke down barriers and challenged expectations. Like talking to this frequently married, non-Jewish Samaritan woman by a well on the edge of town at midday, with no one else around to chaperone to ensure nothing funny happened. In case you're wondering, I'm not going to preach today. It would hardly do, would it, to preach about listening, to conduct a monologue about conversation, to give you all the answers about asking good questions. I'm not going to do that. But I will say, however, that along with the members of your transition team, I too have been reading and hearing and learning about the art and power of listening as we look to nurture a kind of culture of conversation among us. And I do that as someone who has to work at listening. I have to work pretty hard sometimes because I tend to leap ahead to what I think a person is going to say, and to preparing what I'm going to say in response, rather than just listening. I find that I listen best when I can listen for the sound of what is genuine in me amidst all the clutter and the noise, for then I'm better able to listen for the sound of the genuine in others, in each of you, for example. I think it was Jesus' genuineness as much as anything that made him such a good listener and conversation partner, so good at relationship. I almost wonder if what the Bible points to in his identity as the Son of God, as one with God, is a way of expressing his utter genuineness, his ability to be authentically present and his knack for recognizing that quality in others. He was not just incarnate as God's beloved, divinely human. He was incarnate in each moment of life shared with others. And so he would invite others. Whoever has ears to hear, listen. Other times he would implore people, are you listening to me? Really listening? Listening is so basic, we take it for granted. And yet good listening requires patience. Good listening is an act of love. Sometimes, quite often, in fact, good listening is ministry. Those days when the most important ministry any of us do is to turn towards some hurting person, uncross our arms, lean forward, make eye contact, and hear their pain all the way to the bottom. Good listening prepares us to speak well, too. It encourages us to trust the conversation enough to express ourselves honestly and openly. The second half of the prayer that's been attributed to St. Francis of Assisi epitomizes this attitude of listening, which may be why it still speaks to us so powerfully today. Grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive. For the woman Jesus met that day by the well, his listening, his openness to her, his lack of judgment was a gift that transformed her life and the life of others because it created a relationship. And that changed everything. Amen.